The message, the title you've probably heard before, the scriptures you've read before, but we're going to approach this from a different angle. So verse 44, John 11, verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. We're talking about Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus, and the title is Alive But Not Free. We're going to tackle this from a different direction this morning. There were three things that was keeping Lazarus from being free, three obstacles that held him back. And this morning, there are in this congregation, there's someone involved with one of these obstacles. All of us are involved with the other two. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Our Father, may you be glorified in all that's said and done. May we lift up the name of Jesus and realize, Lord, that he is the resurrection and the life, that, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We thank you, God, that we are living in difficult times, our Father, but, Lord, through Jesus Christ, we're not under the circumstances, dear God, that we're over the circumstances. We thank you, dear God, that we're the head, not the tail, that we're above and not beneath, dear God. We're blessed going in and blessed going out, our Father. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, God, that you are an awesome God and that you love us. So thank you, God, for this opportunity to worship you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Three things in the life of, in the story about Lazarus. There was the stone, there was the stench, and there's the stuff. So this morning, there's someone here that has a stone problem. All of us have a stench problem, and we have a stuff problem. So let's get into this and see exactly how these things might play out. Now let's talk about the stone first of all. And we're going to chip away at that stone, share with you five thoughts about the stone. And any good preacher could make a sermon out of each one of these, but I'm just going to hit the highlights on this. First of all, the stone. The stone separated Lazarus from freedom. Lazarus was not free as long as he was behind that stone. Now, we can spiritualize that this morning and think about that stone as sin. Not sins, but sin. Man had a sin problem before Jesus Christ came, and that sin problem separated man from God. But through Jesus Christ, that sin problem was removed. That stone had been removed. As Lazarus was in the grave, now he did not put the stone there. He did not know the stone was there, and he could not move the stone. In our lives, we know that at one point in time, if you know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, you know that there was a stone there. You didn't put it there, and we'll talk about that just a little bit. You probably didn't know it was there. At some point, your eyes were opened, but then what could you do about it? You could not move that stone. There's a scripture that says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. There's another scripture that I want to spend a little bit of time on. In Romans 5:12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So death upon all men. Now it says men. Does that exclude women? Now, we know if you have other Bibles, it says everyone. Well, I want to step out on a limb here just for a moment. And I want to ask, if men are included, and it says everyone, and women are included, what about babies? Are babies spiritually dead when they're born? And I'm going to step on a limb right now, and I'm going to say, no, they are not. They're born innocent. They have a spirit that if they were to die, they would go immediately to be with Jesus. So everyone is not born spiritually dead. Now, at some point in time, we begin to realize that we have a stone problem. We realize that we need Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, to be a part of his church. That might be called the age of accountability. It's a different one. Man is made up of three parts. We live in a body. We have a soul. but we are a spirit. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, first of all, how do you get dead? You reach an age where you know that you need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and at that point you say, no, I'll put it off later. At that point, you become spiritually dead. You have separated yourself from God. You say, I do not want that sacrifice of Jesus Christ in my life. So you die spiritually. Then we realize that, so our spirit now is separated from God. At some point, we realize that we need Jesus in our life, and so we accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and so our spirit is recreated. We are a new creature in Christ. We are now a child of God. We're a child of the King. Our spirit's been made new. Our body has not changed. Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotion has not been changed. Our spirit has been changed. Our job now is to get our soul in line with God's Word. We are to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that is through God's Word. So as we study God's Word, we're transformed. Our mind can still think evil thoughts. Our mind, our will can cause us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. Our emotions can get us in trouble. So our soul has not been redeemed. Paul says, put off the old man. That's your soul. That's your old nature. And put on the new man. So now you are a new creature in Christ. And so we are to be conformed to the image of Christ by daily feasting upon God's Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us that we can become more like Christ. And we do a lot of things that are not Christ-like. Those are sins. We'll talk about it in just a moment. So as a Christian, we now have a right to approach the throne of God because that stone has been moved away. This morning, there may be someone, that probably is someone in this congregation that has a stone problem. You have not acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At some point in your life, you realize that he was there, but you said, I'm not ready yet, and so you're lost. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, how do you get undead? If you're dead, if you're spiritually dead, how do you get undead? Well, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what is the truth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the truth is Jesus Christ. So to get that stone out of the way, to get that sin problem dealt with, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Note number two about the stone. Jesus could have given Lazarus life without the stone being moved. Lazarus could have been alive right behind that stone. But what good would it do to be alive and still behind the stone? Someone said one time, I have two fears, being dead and not buried, and buried and not dead. Lazarus, behind the stone and alive, what purpose is that? But Jesus said, move the stone. Get the stone out of the way. Think about a note number three about that stone. Jesus wanted to speak face to face with Lazarus. He could not speak to Lazarus through the stone. He could speak, but not spiritually. The stone of sin keeps God from speaking to mankind. The Holy Spirit can draw us, but that stone of sin that's there is going to obstruct our communication with God. Jesus wanted to speak to Lazarus face to face, so he said, move the stone out of the way. God does not want to talk to us through a stone, through a veil, through a priest. He wants to talk to us face to face. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace, and I'll give you help in time of need. Lazarus couldn't fellowship with Jesus behind that stone. The stone had to be removed. And we cannot fellowship with Jesus as long as there's something between Jesus and us. We have to get that stone out of the way. Jesus wanted to talk to Lazarus face to face. Another note about the stone, number four. Lazarus was of no use to Jesus as long as he was behind the stone, as long as he was dead. He was no use to Jesus. We are no use to God, of no use to God, as long as we're behind the stone. If the stone is still there, if we're still dead in our sins, we're of no use to God. There's no fellowship, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no testimony. We've got to move that stone. That stone has to be removed so we can have that fellowship with God. And the last thing about the stone is, as long as the stone was in place, Lazarus could not move forward. As long as that stone was there, it's kind of like the stone was telling Lazarus, "You're right where I want you to be, boy. You are not ever going to mount anything. You're trapped right here in this grave. You're never going to get that job that you are praying for. You're never going to get that true love that you were looking for. You're never going to advance. You're never going to pass that math test." I'm a math teacher. "You're never going to pass that math test." That stone was there speaking to Lazarus, saying, "You're never going to make progress. You're always going to be just like you are. Don't get your hopes up of ever being free." So as we look at that stone was one obstacle in Lazarus' life that kept him from being free. So this morning in your life, is there the sin problem? Is there the problem that not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is that a problem in your life? You are alive, but you're not free. All right, enough about the stone. Let's go to the stench. Go to verse 39, John 11, 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now this stench, now we're talking about something else. This stench was coming from Lazarus. The stone was there, placed by someone else to keep Lazarus not in the grave, but just to preserve his spot. And that stone of sin keeps us behind that stone and will not let us advance. But that stench was a problem. You know, if you don't take a bath, you stink. And I don't know, I've never been around people that have not been alive, but I understand that they would have a body odor. So that odor had to be overcome. Now, what in our lives, what is that stench? That stench are the individual sins that we commit daily, weekly, yearly, however you want to phrase it. The stench in our lives are the sins that we commit. And the sins that we commit are what other people smell. For example, Zacchaeus said, "If I have offended anyone, if I've done anybody wrong, I will repay them." Well, he had done a lot of people wrong. There was a stench about him. We know that Paul had killed and jailed many Christians. So there was a stench about Paul, and Paul had to overcome that stench. What about your tithe? When you bring your tithe to church, is there a stench about your tithe? Jesus said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So we can come to worship and we give our tithe, but if there's something wrong, there's a stench about our tithe. Someone says that if you smell yourself, someone else has smelled you for 3 days. As we go through life and we do things and we sin, we make mistakes, there are other people watching us. There are other people that are looking at us. There's a stench about us that we all do. Every one of us, we all commit sins. We do things that are wrong. And someone say, "This is a small sin, this is a big sin," but there's still sins and there's a stench and they must be dealt with. David sinned. He thought he had it covered up. He thought no one knew about it, but they did. The Bible says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." So we have a stench about us, and that stench separates us from fellowship with God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, 1 through 3, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened in that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness. So there are things in our life that shouldn't be there, and that's where our soul nature is taking control over our spirit. Our spirit man is trying to direct us as our spirit listens to the Holy Spirit. He speaks to our spirit. Our spirit speaks to our soul part, and our soul part is supposed to get in line with God's Word. And our soul varies away from God's Word, and there's that stench, just as Lazarus had a stench about him, and that stench had to be dealt with. So what are we going to do? We have accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, but that doesn't cover all of our sins from salvation on. But the Bible says we're to take a holy bath. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So this morning, we do have a stench problem. And when do you need to ask forgiveness for a sin? Do you need to wait till you go to bed at night and say, Father, forgive me all my sins, amen? Or have you ever gone to sleep at night and forget to say, in the name of Jesus, and have to wake up and say, in the name of Jesus? See, that's not the way that you ask forgiveness for sins. As soon as we sin, we know that we've sinned. And that's the time to ask forgiveness. Father, I should not have said what I just said. Father, forgive me for that thought that just crossed my mind. Father, what I did was inappropriate, it's wrong, Father, and I'm going to go to whoever it was that I offended, Father, and I'm not going to say, if I offended you, I'm going to say, I offended you, and I'm sorry. So at the point that you commit sin, that's when you need to take a holy bath so there will not be a stench. Now, Lazarus had a stone problem. Lazarus had a stench problem, but Lazarus also had a stuff problem. Let's go to John chapter 11, verse 44. And he that was dead, so Lazarus, now Jesus called him forth, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Now that's the stuff. Now the stench problem was from Lazarus. He was stinking. He was decaying. Our stench comes from our sins. But stuff is what other people put on us. The wrappings around Lazarus came from someone else. They wrapped him up in to preparing for the grave. The stuff in your life are things that come upon you, circumstances, it could be a lot of different things, and it wraps you up. Now, these are not evil things. They're not sinful things, but they're things that can keep you from being free. The stone kept Lazarus from being free. The stench kept him from being free. The stuff certainly kept him from being free. It's the things like your finances. There's nothing sinful about finances, but your finances can get you so wrapped up that you take your eyes off the Lord and take your eyes off of serving, and you get to figuring out, how am I going to make ends meet? Or what am I going to do next? Your finances begin to engulf you. Your family can wrap you up. That, and you must take care of your family. You must take the kids to ball practice. You must take care of your elderly parents. All these things are things that you need to do. But if we're not careful, we can feel like there's a pressure on us that we just can't do anything else but these kind of things. We find some scriptures along these lines. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and this is kind of strange. It says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Now that's kind of strange, talking about kind of anti-marriage. Don't get married, because if you get married, you can't serve the Lord like you need to. Yeah, we all know that when we get married, there are things that happen, and more about that at 11 o'clock service. But when you get married, it begins to your attention may drift in some other directions. Those verses go on to say, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. So saying, when you get married, you can easily get distracted from the Lord. So not saying don't get divorced. I'm not saying don't get married. But that can be a stuff. All God's children got stuff. We all got stuff. We like to get together and talk about stuff that happens to us. Everybody's got stuff. We find with the parable of the sower. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. You have to survive. You got to go to the grocery store. You've got to go to the bank. You've got to do a lot of things. The cares of this world can choke out the word. God, I don't have time to do my Bible study today. I'll do it tomorrow. Because I've got this and this and this to do today. I don't have time to pray today because I've got these things to do. So the stuff begins to choke us down. Paul had a stuff problem. He said, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then he says, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of the churches. Taking care of all these churches and the bickering and, you know, if one thing, you know, he was trying to create churches and form churches and lead churches. He had a lot going on. And these were things that were heavy upon him. It was stuff in his life. Now, stuff, they're not bad. It's things that happen. It's circumstance. It's just the things that begin to compress us and begin to cause us to be distracted and get our eyes off of serving the Lord. He becomes second priority. Now, in closing, and those are kind of funny words, how many preachers say in closing and preach on 10 minutes and repeat what they said? So I want to wind up with these thoughts. Lazarus needed help. Lazarus was sick, he was dying, and they called for Jesus. Lazarus needed help. Notice in these verses that Jesus made three commandments, and all commandments were to someone else. Something somebody else to do. When he came up and he saw the stone, he said, move the stone. Now, Jesus could have moved that stone. He had the power, but he told somebody else to move the stone. Then, when the stone was moved, he spoke to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Jesus could have gone in and toted Lazarus out, but he said, Lazarus, you come out. And then when Lazarus came out, he spoke a third commandment. He said, loose him. Take all those wrappings off him. Now, Jesus could have done that. He could have took all those wrappings off of him. But he told someone else to do that. The message to me in that is that people are in bondage, and it's up to you and I as Christians who know how to pray to enable them to be free. We are to be intercessors. There are different kinds of prayer. When you pray for yourself, that's one set of rules. When you pray for someone else, that's another set of rules. Why is it that someone is behind the stone? Why is it that someone is still not saved? Is it because God said, well, I just don't think I'm going to save that person today? Is it because that person got up one morning and said, I think I'll just be lost today. I'm going to reject Jesus Christ. Why is it that people are lost? It's because they've been blinded. Notice what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lazarus behind the stone was blinded. Couldn't move that stone. People who are lost are blinded by Satan because Satan says, look how great your life is. You do not know Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do if people are blinded and they do not know they're blinded? They do not know that they're lost. What is our job? Our job is to be intercessors. So first of all, you must bind the spirit of blindness upon their life. And we have that authority. That says right here, the devil blinded them. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the blindness. Now, you don't go to God and say, God, save Uncle Johnny. God's doing all he can to save Uncle Johnny. He's telling you and I to do our part, to move the stone. So how do we move the stone? In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the blindness in Uncle Johnny's eyes. I bind you, Satan, and demand you take your hands off of Uncle Johnny. Now, once the blindness is off, we need to pray for a messenger, somebody that will share the gospel with Uncle Johnny. And it may be the milkman, it may be the grocery store, it may be a friend that just drops by. Somebody has to share a message with Uncle Johnny now that the blindness is gone. Now, once the message is shared, and Jesus says, pray for laborers, for the fields are white to harvest, so pray for labor. So once the messenger goes, what's the message going to be? God, give that messenger the words that Uncle Johnny needs to hear. And it may be something simple, but Lord, you know Uncle Johnny's heart, so speak the words through this messenger. And then once that message is delivered, may that message ignite upon Uncle Johnny's heart. Now, does that mean Uncle Johnny's going to be saved? No, because Uncle Johnny's got to make a decision. He must make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what do? You continue to bind. You continue to pray for messengers. You continue to pray for the message. You continue to pray until Uncle Johnny's saved, or God says, loose him and let him go. He's never going to accept my son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we have a task. So this morning, we need to ask ourselves some questions. First of all, is there a stone problem in your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you do not, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number two, is there a stench problem in your life? Are there sins that you know that you've committed that you may have kind of blocked out? Then you need to ask for a holy bath. Ask Jesus to forgive you of those sins. And what about the stuff? I'm just burdened with so many things right now, I can't even think straight. Ask Jesus for wisdom. He said, ask for wisdom and I will give it to you. So in all these cases, Jesus is the solution. So this morning, there's the stone and there's the stench and there's the stuff. Let's deal with it. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, God, that he came to the grave of Lazarus and he did what he does best. He delivered. He needed others involved in the process. Someone had to call him. Someone had to move the stone. Someone had to move the wrapping. Someone had to bathe him. So, Father, we thank you that you have called us out to be Christians. And not just to sit, our Father, but to stand on your promises, our Father, to bind and to loose those, our Father, that are in captivity. And this morning, dear God, we yield our spirits, Lord, totally to you. This is your time, your invitation, dear God, and we give you the glory. And we thank you, God, what you're doing in our lives this morning. We belong to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.